Welcome to the Country Confidential Podcast. Our goal is to learn new things about the people behind the music and the artists who make it. If you love country music, you're going to love the Country Confidential Podcast. Here's your host, Shiloh Bellis.
You hear him on the radio right now with his single, Neverland. It's Andrew Hyatt. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, man? I'm
doing all right. People say this is maybe the best Andrew Hyatt song they have ever heard. I mean,
okay.
Is that weird?
Yeah.
Because it means that the other stuff wasn't as good as this, but it also means this is really good.
Yeah, I mean, no, I would agree. I would agree. I feel from the second, from the second we had this song wrapped up, I knew there was something special about it. It was just a matter of whether or not it was going to translate. So I'm glad it did, because usually when I have that feeling, I'm wrong. So it's usually I'm like, yes, this is the best song. And then we're like, no, this is,
we're not even
in the ballpark right now. Yeah. Exactly.
They're polite about it though. Let's just put that on hold. Maybe that'll be a good follow-up, in 10 years.
Yeah, I think what usually gets said is like, oh, that's the one for the diehard fans, and you're like, oh, so it's a B side. Okay. It's for the songwriter show. It's perfect.
I love that one. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You're doing a lot of writing. You've had a lot of time.
Yeah. I've been doing more writing than I've done in the last couple of years. It's been good though. It's kind of stretching me and pushing me, on the production side, on everything, right? Because it's just me at home. So it's kind of having to reinvent the wheel a little bit. And it finally forced me to set up a studio in my basement. And I really avoided Zoom rights for probably the first half of lockdown last year. And then once I got into them, I kind of started liking them more. I'm like, oh, what do you mean? I can write songs with other people without having to put pants on? This is amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm actually pretty excited about it for a number of reasons. One being, I do live in a smaller town in the middle of nowhere, so there's not a whole lot of songwriters here. I think moving forward, even once all of this is gone, I'm hoping that people still want to Zoom write.
I think they will. I think for a little bit, people are going to be like, "Oh, it's cool to get back together again," but then I think just the ease of it, right? Like, you don't have to travel. You don't have to put pants on. I mean, just something as simple as that, right?
Yeah, 100%.
You set up a studio in your basement. How long have you lived in your current house?
We've been here now. It's probably going, it's going on 2 years.
Okay, so not that long. Because I was going to ask you, did you find something that you didn't know you had when you were cleaning up the basement to make room for your studio? I love that. When you actually have to go in the basement and clean a path or look for something, you're like, oh, I forgot that I had that.
I still haven't found any of the things that I forgot I had, because we're in the middle of a very long, what has now become a very long renovation process. The house we bought it for the land. Like, the yard is just, it's in a great location and it's big enough that I can have my two dogs outside all the time and they can run. And I basically bought my house for my dogs, which is hilarious to say aloud.
That's fantastic. See, yeah. Dogs do rule the world, right?
Yeah.
We clean up their poop. And we buy houses just for them.
That's it, man. And the bigger the dog, the bigger the poop.
Oh,
so
yeah.
My dogs are,
what do you got? What do you got for dogs?
I've got a King Shepherd and an Australian Shepherd Husky mix. So the two of them. The shepherd's about 95 pounds, and she thinks she's 5 pounds. She's actually upside down on her back with all four legs in the air beside me right now on the bed, just, living her best life. It's her world. I'm just living in it.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, you bought her a house, for goodness sake. So,
yeah.
So the renovation process, are you doing a lot of the work yourself? Have you realized that you're handy, or have you realized maybe I'm not as handy as I thought I was?
It's a mix, right? Like, I worked in a trade before this, so there's things I know I can do, and there's things I know that I don't want to do. Like, I worked as an iron worker, and I worked as a framer for a couple years. So you know, the basics of it, I'm down to put up walls and I'm down to put up, you know, trim and doors and all that stuff. But I despise doing drywall. So that's one thing that we contract out. But my significant other, she runs like a design firm, and an online furniture, and, you know, she does all of that. So working on a brick and mortar store right now, but it's kind of on hold just because of the world. But she does this full time for other people and for other companies. So
is that something we could give her website a plug? Is that a thing where like people can go and buy stuff?
At the moment it hasn't launched to open to the public yet. So what she does is she runs, it's kind of like personal shopping for clients that she's working for on the furniture front. So she'll design an entire space or redesign a space, and then she'll source all of the furniture, but she has a link that she lets people.
The world needs more personal shoppers. I got to say that. The people who do the groceries now, so you can just pull up curbside,
it's the best.
They're the heroes. Really. Yeah. Like, that's great.
Man, I used that for the first time probably about a month ago, and I was like, what do you mean? I can just sit on my laptop at 10 o'clock at night and be like, okay, I need this, 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 this. And it's been so preventative in me not going to the grocery store hungry and coming out with, you know, all of this junk food.
I almost feel that if I was a personal shopper, I would just once in a while put just junk in there and be like, you're welcome.
Yeah. You know, here's like four cans of Pringles.
A random bag of chips, a couple chocolate bars.
Oh man.
You're welcome.
My vice lately has been Rolo ice cream. I don't know what it is about lockdown. I mean, no, it's the middle of winter, but I've been just craving ice cream all the time. So it's a dangerous game, man. It's a dangerous game.
The Shamrock Shakes are back and my wife likes them. So it was minus, I don't know, 18 or 19, and we were getting milkshakes at McDonald's, and I'm like, there's something weird about that to me. I mean, I still enjoy my strawberry shake, but, you know.
Yeah, I've been hitting the Dairy Queen drive-thru, too, for a score of blizzards. I kind of like it when it's, like, negative 27 out and I'm going through because I'm the only person in the drive-thru. There's no waits. Like, summer gets a little touch and go there, but,
And the best part is the blizzard, if it's a little bit melty, sometimes, you know, like, the machine's not quite cold enough, you just stick it out your window for a while, right? You just
Yeah, that's it. I just open the back door and I just set it in the snow and just wait.
Tie it to the roof.
Speaking of a little bit melty, this is something that Lisa does that is very weird to me. And I want to bring this up because I don't know if this is normal or not. So she likes her ice cream a little bit more melty. I like mine hard. So she'll actually put ice cream in a bowl and then microwave it for like 10 seconds.
What?
Yeah. That's weird, right?
Oh, that's crazy. Like that's,
yes.
I would be a little bit nervous about going to sleep around her now. That's a little crazy.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So, okay, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one. I mean, she likes it just a little, still cold, but runny.
But I gotta tell you, good on her for figuring out microwave times, because I've often tried to perfect that. And like I put something in the microwave thinking, okay, I'll put it in for this time, and then it comes out piping hot or not hot enough. So if you can do the ice cream thing, that's pretty good. That's a good talent.
Yeah, I agree. It's like when you try to microwave a piece of pizza and next thing you know, it's like, oh, that's way too hot. Yeah. 30 seconds after it cools off, it's rock hard.
Oh yeah. Or like a frozen dinner when you're like, oh man, that's been in there forever, and you take it out and the dessert or the peas are still, the vegetables are still cold, like frozen.
It's touch and go, man.
People use forks and knives for things that don't need to be used for forks and knives. That happens a lot. My wife's guilty of that. I'm like, you know, that's a perfect example of a food you can pick up and shove it in your face.
No. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. Even like the fork to spoon, you know, who uses a fork for this or a spoon for that. I feel like I flip flop. Some days I'm like, nah, today's a spoon day, you know?
Yeah. I will tell you though, I will eat with my fingers, my hands, anything that's even moderately appropriate to be eating, you know. That's going to be weird when we get back from this pandemic, when we have to go to restaurants and like formal dinners and stuff. I don't know. Are we all going to have our eating skills still? Like, are we all just going to be like slurping just, and, you know,
we're just going to be slobs. We're just going to go back. It's like, why are you in track pants and a stained shirt?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I've been wearing it for a year and a half. Yeah. So what does it matter now?
Exactly. Your first like, major dinner out, there's just stuff all over your shirt and you're like, wow, I didn't even notice. What? That's just,
yeah.
Just how it happens.
Yeah, family dinner. Where's Andrew Rice? He's on the couch watching TV because that's what he's been doing for the last ever.
Thank God we got that on our phones now. We can just we're celebrating Family Day and Valentine's and all that stuff. How was all that for you? And are you a romantic guy? Like, was this a win for you?
Like as far as this year goes?
Yeah. Like, do you feel that you actually accomplished Valentine's Day in a big way?
No, not this year. I mean, I feel like I screwed myself. I set the bar way too high, way off the top in the first few years. And everything after that, I feel like is a letdown. Like the first Valentine's Day that we ever had together, I went to all of my friends and I borrowed all of their string lights for Christmas trees. And I set up the entire backyard, candles, the whole nine yards. Now it's like, if I pick up a card, like, that's lucky.
Dude, you did ruin it, you know? And
yeah.
And that's advice. Listen, I don't often give relationship advice, but I'll tell you this. Never overdo it. If this has been your first Valentine's and your first, all your firsts, if you do it too big, you're just never going to be able to live up to that. So,
yeah, don't shoot yourself in the foot off the top. Ease into it, you know? Buy yourself some time so that you've still got surprises. I went way too big, way too fast across the board. I just set myself up for being a disappointment. It's great. I love it.
The reaction's always like, yeah, that was great. Let me just go microwave some ice cream and I'll get over the heartbreak of your disappointment.
That's actually what I got her for Valentine's Day, is I microwaved ice cream for her.
Oh, man. Candlelit ice cream dinner, right? It's just, but the candles warm it up just enough for her. Hey, that's pretty perfect.
Ice cream fondue.
Ice cream. So when are we going to get back to normal? When do you have any shows that you really think are going to happen? Are you banking on anything? Like, do you have anything coming up?
Man, I kind of was hopeful until like the first week of January of this year being not a complete bust. I don't know. I'm just watching the way they're rolling out vaccines and how there seems to be delays.
Who knew the whole world was going to want to buy the same vaccines? Like, who knew that was going to happen?
Yeah. Imagine that, a supply and demand issue.
Yeah.
In a pandemic, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see, man. I don't know. I think we'll probably get to a point that we were at last summer where, you know, they allowed the drive-in shows and they allowed the, 50 person backyard or intimate venue kind of shows. But we've got a couple things lined up that are in that vein going, okay, well, at least if it's not normal, but it's what it was last summer, we're going to be able to do it. But I don't know, man. I'll tell you this, the first show back where people can be crowded at the stage, I will be very happy.
I think it might be emotional for the fans and the artists when that
finally
happens.
There's going to be some very special nights for sure.
Yeah. Not that you guys ever took it for granted. I know concert goers, we take it for granted, right? Oh, I got to, I'm going to do a show, I'm sure the artists sometimes it's like, hey, I'm doing 20 concerts in the next, month. But I would imagine they'll be, for the first little while, everyone's going to be even more special when it.
Yeah, I think, there's always that cycle yearly where you get into February and you start playing. It's usually, a tour or something like that at the beginning of the year. And you get out and there's that excitement. And then you get to the end of November where you've played 50, 60 shows and you're just, or more, depending on if you've bookended the year with tours.
Yeah.
and you're exhausted by that point. You're just like, I cannot wait to just like have some downtime at Christmas and, you know, take December, January and just kind of focus on recording and writing. I don't think I'll be taking that for granted anytime soon when I'm tired. I don't think I'll ever be like, man, do I really have to get on a red eye flight after playing this show to make it to this show? You know,
what's
I think I'll be excited to do that.
What's the longest you've ever spent on the road?
Probably 38 days straight or 40 days straight is the longest.
That's a long time, right?
Like, yeah.
What tour was that?
That would have been the Side Effects tour. Just because
it's a good tour.
I had done some radio stuff off the top. And then we started on the East Coast, I think. Yeah, East Coast, went right to the West Coast. And there was 2 weeks of rehearsals. So it was a long haul. It was great though. Best tour.
I have to tell you, never talk to Dallas about how long tours are, because I've mentioned it before. I'm like, wow, you've been out for 30 some days. You must be. He's like, no, back in my default days, we go for like 3 or 4 months or more. So that's a guy you can't complain about tour lengths to, right?
Oh, I love tour though. Honestly, I'm never mad if I'm on the road. Only because it's like Groundhog Day, but in the best way ever. You know, you wake up on a bus, you get off the bus, there's like a little green sign that says this way to catering, and you saunter into the venue and you get your food, and then, you know, somebody cooks your breakfast, your dinner's delivered, lunch is kind of, it's there, but usually you'll go grab something. You do the same thing every day, but it's the best day ever.
Is the food different every day? Like, do they do a good job changing it up?
Oh yeah, it's hit and miss, because usually you have your request, but it's usually some like the local, whoever is going to take care of it. They've always got their own deals. So sometimes, you know, you're getting five days of lasagna in a row, okay, which I love lasagna, which is fine. And then other times you're getting, you know, bad sandwiches.
So what's the worst, not mentioning where, but what's the worst thing you have ever had catered that you're just like, man, really? Like that is your idea of catering?
There was some weird stuff. One particularly where I've been to that place 3 times now, and every time they do some weird like chicken cordon bleu thing but they miss, like it's a hard miss. And it's to the point now where we automatically order pizza before the show.
That's
we're
awesome.
Just like, just please have 15 large pizzas here after this, because we know like the lunch has been the same. They always do like a roast beef lunch, a hot roast beef lunch, and it's amazing. And then dinner is just this swing and a miss.
Oh, that's awesome. And then we have a standby already. We have a standby already.
And chicken is a weird thing. Like if you miss on, it's hard to miss on chicken, but if you miss on it, it's just, it's terrible texture, terrible taste. Like,
And if you miss on the sauce too.
Yeah.
I think 100%. You and I were at a dinner together, and I won't mention which organization or where, but I never send food back. And I actually sent my meal back because the sauce was just like, wow, like that was what? Really? You know?
Yeah. And I think the price of the ticket was astronomical
to
be there.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm thinking of the one that you're thinking of.
It was like, wait a second. We paid that much and I sent my food back, you know?
Yeah.
But whatever, right? Stuff happens.
Yeah. That's funny. That stands out in my mind and your mind too.
Well, it stands out in my mind because I probably can count on one hand the amount of meals I've ever sent back in my life. I mean, I can make do. Usually I'm just like, whatever, right? It's not the best, but I like to eat. So,
yeah. Yeah. I agree. I'm pretty non fussy. Like we've been doing HelloFresh, for 4 meals a week or 4 dinners a week, just to kind of limit,
to walk me through this. I understand how it works. I see it on TV all the time. I've never done it. I think about doing it all the time. You just basically tell them what you want, or you just order the food and then they surprise you. Is it a surprise?
No. So you pick, there's meal options every week.
Okay.
So you have to have them in by a certain time. So you just pick, hey, this week I'm going to try this, 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 and this. And I would say that it's pretty good. It's pretty good overall. There are a few misses where you're like, huh, this must have been what they had left over for recipes. Yeah. But
Shiloh must have created that recipe. It was just noodles and ketchup. That's just kidding.
Yeah, or somebody did their homework like the morning of Clash kind of vibe. You know what I mean?
That was also me.
This is food, but it's it's food.
But overall, though, pretty successful, because I often think about trying it, and then it just shows up at your house and it's all prepped,
It just comes in like a insulated box with some ice packs in it, and you just open it up, throw the four different bags in the fridge, and then you open it up, you follow the directions, and you make your meal.
Man, that sounds pretty great, actually. Maybe you should get HelloFresh delivered to the place that has bad catering, and that's like, but make it obvious, like, just so maybe they get an idea. Oh, HelloFresh is here. Oh, okay.
That's actually genius. Getting a tour sponsored by HelloFresh, it would be so smart.
Nice, nice. Tell us a bit about Neverland climbing the charts. Finally, I know it took a little while to get there, but it's tremendous. You must be so pumped about how it's sort of moving now, and people are loving it.
Yeah, I mean, I think slow and steady has kind of been the motto of my career. If you set the bar too high, you're just going to let yourself down later on. I feel like I've just been slowly building in increments and trying to build something that's long term. So with this song, to see, you know, this is the first time we've had top tens before, and we've had, top 15s and whatnot, and I've seen how those have come together, but this is the first time that I've seen a song react the way this song is reacting. Mm-hmm. Everybody seems to be, you know, we're having week after week of great ad weeks and seeing great numbers and seeing a lot of social media response to it, and seeing the response from radio has been amazing, to see what people feel and think about it, and to hear the feedback has been great. On a song that, you know, I love. So it's cool, man. That's great. It's always cool.
Stream the heck out of it, everybody. That definitely helps a lot. And you know, you talk about being patient and sort of, you know, my last memory of seeing you, maybe I've seen you since then, but I remember, we were at an airport, we were at Toronto, and you just casually walked by and said, "Hey, Shiloh, it'd be great if you could start playing my song soon." And you were just so nice about it. And I was like, "Oh, that's fantastic." Cause I didn't even know you were at the airport. You're just like, "Hey, Shiloh, listen, it'd be really great." You are patient.
Yeah, man. I think somewhere along the line, that's funny that I said that. What an ass.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah, no, that's good.
There could have been worse things. You could have said your flight's canceled, right? You tell me that at the airport, I'm more mad than I'm just kidding.
Oh, that's the worst.
Actually, seriously, I would like to just even have a reservation. Even if my flight got canceled, I wouldn't even mind. Like now, I mean, I haven't booked a flight. I haven't been on a flight, and I know it's even more weird for you. I haven't been on a flight in over a year. Just can't imagine.
Yeah, it's been a bit for me too, man. I think, I can't even imagine being in an airport now. I feel like I had the system hacked for a while. I had it dialed in, you know.
We're going to have change in our pockets the first time. We're going to have keys. Like those security people, I was always so good, right? Because, I mean, we do it enough where you know the drill. But we're all going to forget. They're going to yell at us constantly. I feel bad. I apologize in advance. Because all of us are going to forget the habits. We're gonna carry water bottles. Oh,
it's gonna be so bad. You're gonna have to get to the airport like 4 hours in advance at least, because you know there's the guy who doesn't take his belt off, and it's gonna be me or whatever, right? Yeah.
For a long time it wasn't us, because there was always the ones who don't travel much and they just forget. But then there was us who were pretty decent travelers. But even we're gonna forget now. Yeah, I hate when they make you take off your shoes. Sorry, that's my I'm not hiding anything in my shoes. I don't want to take off my shoes.
No, I feel that, man. I feel that. You know what? The biggest thing about flying for me, when we'd bring gear, every airport would have different rules for some reason. Like we would, you know, and different costs. Like we would fly out of Toronto. That's my dog. I don't know if anybody heard that.
I did. She's yawning. Yeah. Was that a yawn?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big yawn. And a, hey, Dad, let me out of the room.
This podcast is boring, Dad. Yes, sorry, about gear. You're talking about gear.
Oh, just or anything. There'd just be different rules, right? Yeah. Like I can remember one time I'm trying to go through and they're like, sir, you can't have – you have two carry-on items or that's, you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Like that's three items. You have I had a backpack, a roller, and I had a suit jacket on a hanger. And that suit jacket, they would not let me through security because – or like the checkpoint because I had three items. And I was like, are you serious? I'm just trying not to wrinkle my coat. And they're like, no, like you can't come through. So I literally – all I did, I took it off. I put it on and I stuck the hanger in my backpack. And they were like, yeah, no problem. Come on through. I'm like, come on. Like there's got to be some common sense here.
Wow.
But it's that kind of stuff.
Where and sometimes you can bring the guitar on the plane with you and sometimes you can't. I've seen that before where it's like,
yeah.
Well, my last flight, I could bring it on with me. Well, not this time. It's like, okay.
Yeah, it depends who you get. You know, we've all got the flight bags now, so they look like backpacks. So you can at least walk those up to the side of the plane and they'll put them on with the strollers, which is pretty good. Yeah, Air Canada is actually really good for that. They'll let artists board first so that you try and, you know, hopefully find room on the plane and it fits. Or you get the flight attendants that'll argue with you that it won't fit. And you're like, ma'am, or sir, I've flown on.
But I've also seen it the other way when people will be like, yeah, I'm sure it's going to fit. And you know, and they just start trying to cram it and bang it, and it's like, no, like this is not gonna fit. Like this is
Well, I always check what kind of plane I'm on. So like I'll look at the flight number, I'll look up what plane it is, and then based on that, usually that Darren Savard taught me that trick. He's like, these are the ones that have like the double bins, these are the ones that don't. This is too small. Any flight out of Sudbury, my guitar will not fit on it because if there's a flight going from Sudbury to Toronto, it's a tiny plane and my backpack won't even fit in the overhead bin. So,
wow. Sign of the times, Andrew Hyatt. We spent more time talking about flying than either one of us have been on a plane in a year. So,
yeah. So brutal, man.
Go and check out Neverland, Andrew. We'll do this again real soon. Maybe when you get back out on the road a little bit and, go and play with your dogs.
Yeah, I'm going to go do that. I'm going to take him for a run, start a little fire in the backyard. And
and tell him to stop being so damn picky. The podcast wasn't that boring.
Yeah, that's it, man. That's it. Well, it's their world. We're just living in it.
This has been the Country Confidential Podcast. If you love the show, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Have something you've always wanted to know about an artist or country music in general? Send Shiloh a note on Facebook. Join us next time for more confidential information about the best music on the planet and the people who make it.